From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listeners, welcome back to me, Ahmad Faisal, in English program. Hopefully, you are so fine and still have spirit to listen our program today. And for these 60 minutes ahead, we would like to accompany you with various segments that can not only entertain you, but also educate as well as inform you our several beneficial information and entertainment such as news, commentary, and also other self-information, as well as Indonesian pop songs. Well, listeners, we begin our program with news. So stay tuned with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia with the news, first the headline. Indonesian President Jokowi says Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement will increase trade by up to 90%. Saudi Arabia committed to helping United Nations efforts toward water, food security. I'm Rahmawati, now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement had increased the value of Indonesia's trade to Australia by up to 90%. This was conveyed in a meeting with Prime Minister Anthony Albanese.
Terkait perdagangan sejak berlakunya Indonesia
regarding trade,
SEPA,
since the entry into force of the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, trade volume has increased by 90%. This will continue to be optimized through mutual recognition agreements for fishery products, fruit quarantine and inspection, as well as capacity building for MSMEs. President Joko Widodo said, since last year's annual leaders' meeting in Bogor, West Java, there have been many positive developments. The head of state expressed his gratitude for Australia's commitments. President Joko Widodo appreciated Australia's support for Indonesia's chairmanship in ASEAN and invited Australia to strengthen the partnership in the South Pacific through trilateral cooperation and participating in the ASEAN Indo-Pacific Forum. Indonesian Finance Minister Sri Mulyani said the government has allocated 612 trillion rupiah budget for education in 2023. Mulyani, through a video conference during Inclusive Lifelong Learning Conference in Badung, Bali on Wednesday, said the Indonesian government has to spend 20% of the budget on education. She added this budget is allocated by both the central government and local governments.
A large portion of the education budget is allocated to support the basic education up to the high school due to the Indonesia demographic composition, which is still dominantly at the young age. And that's why the capacity of the local government to manage, organize, and responsible for this education spending is very critical.
Sri Mulyani also said the priority of education in Indonesia in building buildings in a number of schools in Indonesia was an achievement in the last 20 years. Next, we have Indonesian Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan, who affirmed the government is ready to facilitate young members of the Indonesian diaspora to embark on entrepreneurship in Australia. Speaking at a gathering with members of the Indonesian diaspora in Sydney, the minister expressed hope young diasporas can promote Indonesia and everything it has to offer, including food, arts, and tourism. According to data from the Indonesian Trade Ministry, Indonesia and Australia have become key trade partners for one another, and bilateral trade between the two countries recorded the highest ever value of $13.3 billion in 2022. The last national news comes from Indonesia that called on the United Nations Security Council on Tuesday for the immediate implementation of all of its resolutions related to Palestine, as it condemned deadly Israeli attacks in the occupied West Bank. At least 9 Palestinians were killed and 100 injured after Israel launched a ground offensive and airstrikes on Jenin on Monday. Video footage showed bulldozers tearing up the Palestinian city and Israeli tanks outside it in an operation allegedly focused on militant targets. Saudi Arabia's Deputy Minister of Environment, Water and Agriculture, Mansour Al-Mushaiti, has renewed the kingdom's support for United Nations efforts in achieving global food and water security and addressing hunger and poverty globally. He was speaking at the 43rd session of the Food and Agriculture Organization Conference, which is taking place in Rome and being held to discuss relevant issues in the light of the challenges posed by water scarcity. Next, we have Vietnamese government that will give priority to ironing out difficulties facing businesses and maintaining macroeconomic stability to ensure a growth rate of 6.5% and cap inflation at 4.5% this year, Prime Minister Pham Minh said at a government meeting in Hanoi on Tuesday. Pham Minh also said measures to be taken in the second half of the year will include continuing a proactive and flexible monetary policy, accelerating the disbursement of public investment, creating the best conditions for attracting private and foreign investment, and many others. We end the news with police in Spain that say they have cracked a smuggling ring responsible for trafficking people from Syria to Europe via Sudan. The Policía Nacional said the gang was based in Spain and run by a Syrian man operating since 2017. It also dealt in smuggled items including guns and drugs. 15 people have been arrested, 14 of them in Almeria and one in Malaga. 13 were remanded in custody. The operation to uncover the group lasted over a year and involved police from France, Germany, Norway, and Europol. Well, listener, that was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Oh, Here is today's commentary on President's visit to Australia for the advancement of both countries' regions and the world. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo paid a working visit to Australia and Papua New Guinea from 3 to 6 July 2023. During his two-day visit to Australia, President Joko Widodo held a series of meetings. The main meeting is to attend the annual leaders' meeting on 4 July 2023. In a joint statement held after the meeting, President Joko Widodo expressed his gratitude for the commitments that resulted in positive developments in the relations between the two countries. Meanwhile, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese stated that Australia and Indonesia continued to choose to be closer as economic partners, as security partners, and as partners in the global transition towards net zero. President Joko Widodo conveyed several priorities that Australia and Indonesia have to do in the future. The first priority is more substantive and strategic economic cooperation through the joint development of electric vehicle battery production. The second is the strengthening of the Indonesia-Australia Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. And the fourth is related to the development of the archipelago capital city. Prime Minister Albanese expressed his pleasure that a number of commercial deals in the healthcare, mining, and digital sectors had been concluded. Prime Minister Albanese also conveyed the realization of the Indonesia-Australia Climate and Infrastructure Partnership Program worth 200 million Australian dollars. He announced that the first tranche of the funding, amounting to 50 million Australian dollars, will be used to invest in startups and small to medium enterprises focused on the co-benefits from Indonesia's clean energy technology and energy transition sector. In addition, the two leaders also welcome Australian Export Capital's plan to establish a $200 US, nearly 3 trillion Indonesian rupiah capital financing facility with PT Perusahaan Listrik Negara to support Indonesia's energy transition. Meanwhile, regarding regional and global issues, the two leaders also put forward concrete cooperation to make the Indo-Pacific a peaceful and stable region. The positive results illustrate the optimism of the two leaders for the stronger relations between Indonesia and Australia. The friendly and warm atmosphere shown by President Joko Widodo and Prime Minister Albanese also symbolizes the harmonious relationship and the strength of understanding between the two countries. It is hoped that President Joko Widodo's working visit to Australia will strengthen the friendly relations between the two countries, which are more solid for the progress of the two countries, the region, and the world. That's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back this year. Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia
on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared. Who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Today in History. We begin with an event on July 5, 1959, when the presidential decree was issued. The presidential decree of July 5, 1959 was a decree issued by the first president of Indonesia, Sukarno. The contents of this decree were the dissolution of the Constituent Assembly as a result of the 1955 elections and the replacement of the constitution form from the Provisional Constitution of 1950 to the Constitution of 1945. In addition to the dissolution of the Constituent Assembly, it was also announced the formation of a Provisional People's Consultative Assembly, or MPRS, consisting of members of the House of Representatives, or DPR, plus group and regional representative. A Provisional Supreme Advisory Council, or DPAS, was also formed. Moving on to the event on July 5, 1962, about the independence of Algeria. Algeria is a country on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, North Africa. In 1954, the National Liberation Front launched a guerrilla war. After almost a decade of war on town and country, they managed to force the French out in 1962. Prior to that, an independence referendum was held on July 1, 1962, after France agreed to the Evian Accords in a referendum held in April. 99.72% of voters support the independence of Algeria, and Indonesia was one of the first countries to recognize Algeria's independence. We end today in history with July 5, 2004, about the Indonesian presidential election. The 2004 general election for the President and Vice President of Indonesia was held to directly elect the pair of President and Vice President of Indonesia for the period 2004 to 2009. The 2004 presidential election was the first time that the Indonesian people could directly vote for the President and Vice President. This general election was held in two rounds and was won by President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono and Vice President Muhammad Yusuf Kalla. Well, listener, that was Today in History from Voice of Indonesia.
La 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 la
Listener, you are still with us on Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency shortwave 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. For this segment, we would like to give you information about My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Chair of the Governing Board UNESCO Institute for Lifelong Learning, Daniel Barrel, said, Indonesia is the greatest example in implementing lifelong learning. According to Barrel, Indonesia had shown how to encourage inclusive learning for all. But he said that during the Inclusive Lifelong Learning Conference, or ILLC 2023, in Badung, Bali on Monday, attended by more than 300 participants from 40 countries. In his remark, Barry highlighted the pre-employment card program that has benefited around 17 million people since it was launched in 2020. According to him, this program is very beneficial because it helps a lot of people in getting a job. Barry also affirmed that education is a universal right for all, as written in the Article 26 of Universal Declaration of Human Rights. It includes the right for lifelong learning because education doesn't stop at school or university, but we need to equip ourselves collectively and individually in building a lifelong learning culture to undergo the important transition in this era. In line with Barrel's statement, the Indonesian Coordinating Ministry for Economy, Airlangga Hartarto, when officiating the ILLC 2023 held on July the 3rd until the 6th, 2023, said, becoming the host for ILLC 2023 is an honor for Indonesia. According to Minister Airlangga, lifelong learning is very important for both individuals and the society as a whole.
Learning throughout life is paramount importance both for individual, for society as a whole. It serves a powerful tool in empowering individuals worldwide to confront pressing global challenges that lie ahead, including climate change, demographic shift, labor market volatility, and more. Lifelong learning also plays a central role in equipping individuals with the knowledge and skills necessary to fully harness the benefit of technological advancement, including those driven by generative AI. In this era of disruption, the key to thriving lies in our ability to adapt, to skill, reskill and upskill. In short, it lies embracing the lifelong learning.
Airlangga Hartarto said, responding to this challenge, Indonesia has the initiative with UNESCO Institute for Lifelong Learning to hold the Inclusive Lifelong Learning Conference. According to him, all needs to collaborate to encourage the lifelong learning initiative.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, Kei Islands are a group of islands located in the southeast part of Maluku Islands, precisely in southeast Maluku. This archipelago has several small islands with stunning natural panoramas. Especially for beach tourism, Maluku region is indeed a beach paradise in the world, because the natural scenery presented on the coast of Maluku is truly amazing. One of them is Ngurtafur Beach, or Ngurtafur, which means raised sand. Ngurtafur is a stretch of embossed sand that extends for about 2 km, which will arise when the sea water recedes, so that it divides the ocean into two parts. Ngurtafur Beach is located in the Banda Sea region and on Woha Island, which is part of Kei Islands, southeast Maluku Regency, Maluku. Ngurtafur Beach is open 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. However, to get to Ngurtafur Beach, you have to watch the tides, and the best time is April to May or October to December. You don't need to pay an entrance fee, but you have to spend money to rent a boat, with the price range of around 1 million rupiah or about $66 per boat that can be filled by 8 to 10 people. At Ngurtafur Beach, we will not find public facilities. There is only a viewing post and a gazebo that can be used for resting, and so is on Woha Island. If you are lucky, you can meet pelican stopping at Ngurtafur Beach. The pelican does live around the coast, not migrating from Australia. Apart from seeing pelicans, you can also see leatherback turtles at Ngurtafur Beach. In addition, there is also a captivity managed by the World Wide Fund for Nature. Swimming at Ngurtafur Beach is really refreshing. The water is so clear that you can freely see the bottom without anything getting in the way. The most appropriate activity to see the beauty of the seabed is by snorkeling. To get to Ngurtafur Beach, you first go to Ohoy Debut Harbor, which is located in Langur City, the administrative of government for Southeast Maluku Regency in Maluku Province. From here, you have to continue by boat that you rented before, heading to Woha Island to Ngurtafur Beach. That's Indonesian wonder.
Jabat tanganku, mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu, seakan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini akan kita rindukan di hari nanti. Sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena waktu ini akan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa. Oh,
mungkin jiwaku masih haus sanjungan kalian.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Berwisata di Sawah Lunto. Berwisata di Sawah Lunto, which means traveling in Sawah Lunto. So stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Situs Kota Pertambangan Paling Tua di Asia Tenggara. Situs Kota Pertambangan Paling Tua di Asia Tenggara, which means the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia and a tourist guide in Ombilin Charcoal Mining Site. The tourist guide informs about Ombilin Charcoal Mining, which is the oldest mining city in Southeast Asia. Let's listen to the conversation.
Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara.
Kapan situs ini dibangun?
Situs ini mulai dibangun pada tahun 1888.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word 2 times, and you can repeat after me. Tambang batubara Ombilin. Tambang batubara Ombilin, which means Ombilin charcoal mining. Merupakan. Merupakan, which means is. Situs. Situs, which means site. Kota pertambangan. Kota pertambangan, which means mining city. Paling tua. Paling tua, which means the oldest. Di Asia Tenggara. Di Asia Tenggara, which means in Southeast Asia. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara. Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara, which means Ombilin Charcoal Mining is the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. Tahun 1888. Tahun 1888, which means in 1888. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, Tambang Batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara. Tambang Batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara, which means Ombilin Charcoal Mining is the oldest mining city site in Southeast Asia. In the sentence, there is an expression, paling tua, paling tua, which means the oldest. It is used to state a comparison between two things or objects. The word paling, paling, which means the most or EST, is followed by the adjective tua, tua, which means old, to state that Ombilin Charcoal Mining City is the oldest one compared to the other mining city sites in Southeast Asia. Let's listen to the other examples to use the word paling, paling, which means the most or EST, to state comparison between two things or objects. Paling besar, paling besar, which means the biggest. Danau Toba adalah danau paling besar di Sumatera. Danau Toba adalah danau paling besar di Sumatera, which means Lake Toba is the biggest lake in Sumatera. Paling luas, paling luas, which means the largest. Taman Nasional Kerinci Seblat merupakan taman nasional paling luas di Sumatera. Taman Nasional Kerinci Seblat merupakan taman nasional paling luas di Sumatera, which means Kerinci Seblat National Park is the largest national park in Sumatera. Batubara, which means charcoal, consists of 2 words, namely batu, which means stone, and bara, which means coal. Based on the physical character, the word batubara means a burning stone because it can be fueled after going through combustion. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Tambang batubara Ombilin merupakan situs kota pertambangan paling tua di Asia Tenggara.
Kapan situs ini dibangun?
Situs ini mulai dibangun pada tahun 1888.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year,
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
VOI listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I would like to present a traditional song from Manado, North Sulawesi, entitled Nganata Solupa. The song Nganata Solupa was composed by Teddy Salendah and popularized by Fonda Pandean. The song was released in early 2019. The lyrics of the song is an expression of someone who has been abandoned by his lover. When his love is so big, his beloved girl goes to another heart instead. Now the ex-girl wants to come back. However, he refuses because he has forgotten his ex-girlfriend. Well, listener, here is the song Nganata Solupa by Fonda Pandean.